My Dad Frank Sontag is next.
Thank you for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show, as we begin our Impact segments, which we do every hour. Impact is extended dialogue and discussion without any interruptions on issues of faith and culture. And we begin this Impact segment with an in-studio guest who's been here a number of times before. And we're going to talk a little bit about purity, what it means to be a Christian man, and an interesting perspective from the secular mindset with a study that was done by a female sociologist. There's an article entitled, What Happens When Evangelical Virgin Men Get Married? This secular female sociologist found out, with us to break this down and get some clarity on a very powerful issue that affects us all, is our friend from LaVie Counseling Centers. Dr. Mark Baker is the executive director of LaVie. And Dr. Mark, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, good to be here. It's always good to be with you and talk about important issues for the church today. This is a good one.
Let's talk a little bit about this. This is about a group of 15 men that actually agreed to letting a female sociologist into the group and study. Talk about some of your initial thoughts.
Yeah, this was an interesting study. It was done at the University of Washington, where a female researcher who was in her 20s herself wanted to understand sexuality from a Christian perspective. She's not a Christian, so she went and found these guys who were part of a large evangelical church, group of 15 guys in a small group, and wanted to ask them about their belief about sex. Well, these guys, and I have to say this is to their credit, these guys are really trying to address an important problem today. As you know, we've talked about this before, 60% of women in their 20s who have a baby are having babies out of wedlock. And overall in our culture today, 50% of the babies that are born in America today are born out of wedlock.
50%?
50%.
I would have never guessed that.
No, it's an epidemic. I mean, this is a gigantic, gigantic problem. And these guys are trying to address that. I mean, good for them. I mean, they're saying, look, this is what we believe our Bible tells us, and so we're going to commit each other, commit a vow, take a vow of abstinence. These are guys ages 19 to 25. And do you remember back 19 to 25? I mean, that is a tough age to say, I'm going to commit myself to purity, because you know, hormones are racing, and you're in a culture that I just described is way out of control sexually. But these guys were trying to really follow what they believed to be the right thing to do with their sexuality. And so this woman was obviously shocked by that, and so she wanted to study it. So she follows these guys, and within a three-year period, 14 out of 15 of them got married, and all are reportedly happily married. I want to make sure you would say that. I mean, it worked for them. But they admitted to her that, yeah, we have got struggles. We struggle with porn. We struggle with masturbation. We struggle with lust. We struggle with same-sex attraction. I mean, these guys were honest. They said, we've got all the problems that everybody else has, but we are going to commit ourselves to each other to be abstinent before we get married. And they were able to do it. And the reason they were able to do it, because they had accountability partners. These guys came alongside each other, and when one of them went on a date, the other one was texting him around 11 saying, how's it going? Or they were calling each other and checking up. And one of the guys had another guy have a program on his computer that could check whether or not he's going to porn sites. I mean, they took this seriously.
So here's the question. What did she derive? What kind of insights did she derive from a secular sociologist viewpoint? Did she get it?
She didn't get it. You know, what she got was that after they got married, these 14 that did get married, she then interviewed them again, and they still had the same struggles. You know, they were struggling with, you know, pornography and same-sex. The guy who had same-sex attraction still had it, surprisingly, you know, after he got married. So magically, they didn't get better. And so her conclusion was, well, abstinence didn't do you any good, did it? I mean, didn't help you have the satisfying relationship that you thought it was going to have. Purity didn't work from her perspective. From my perspective, it absolutely did work, because the thing that changed after these guys got married is that they dropped out of their small group. here's the problem. These guys were talking about sex. They were open about it. They were talking about their struggles openly with each other. And that really worked, helped them deal with their sexual urges and sexual feelings because they were honest. They were in community with each other. When they got married, they then thought, well, it would be a violation of my marriage vows to be talking about sex with these guys anymore. So they stopped talking about sex. Everybody thought, well, you must be talking about it with your spouse now, right? Because now you're married. You're going to be talking with your spouse. Exactly. They weren't. They weren't talking.
If they were, it's not the same type of talk you do with men, men among men.
Not even close. The guys were afraid it would be vulgar or rude or offensive, or it would be impure for them to talk openly about sex with their spouses. So here's the point. The guys stopped talking. They stopped talking about their sexuality with anybody. And so their struggles got even worse because they didn't have the community of guys that they needed to hold each other accountable and to live in a healthy way in community. No big surprise. We need each other in order to live well. And that's the issue. The issue isn't that their sexuality got worse because of the abstinence. The issue is that their sexual struggles got worse because they didn't have community within which they could deal with those struggles.
Dr. Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling Center. I have Dr. Baker on every 5 weeks, 6 weeks to talk about these issues and urge you, suggest, pray that you would contact him for the many issues that so many of us struggle with. And as Doc Baker was just talking about, men don't talk. That's part of the problem. And yet we all have issues from childhood, etc. And to go to a Christian counseling center like LaVie, it can only absolutely clarify, make things deeper and stronger for your walk with Christ. And also, if you're a non-believer, it's not as if Doc Baker is there to have a Bible in his hand, but ultimately, we do believe the Bible has all the answers. So let me ask you this. There's guys listening right now, women as well, and they're like, okay, yeah, this is a struggle for many men, and yet there are men listening right now that know they'd benefit from getting involved in a men's group or contacting you, and yet the enemy's got them isolated.
Right. That's probably one of the biggest problems for men, especially in our culture today, is they isolate. They think, I can go this alone. I can lone ranger my spirituality. I can lone ranger my masculinity. And you can't. The reason these guys were successful in dealing with their sexual impulses is because they had other guys. And the big mistake that men make is to think that I can isolate and that I view other men as competition rather than men I need to be in community with. And it's a huge problem. We know that Christian community has a powerful, powerful impact on men's lives, both emotionally and spiritually. You and I have talked about this before. I've done a lot of work in prisons, and a guy by the name of Byron Johnson followed guys who became Christians in prison, and he followed them after they left prison. And this was not good news for the people who are in prison ministry, but what he found is guys who become Christians in prison and then leave prison were being rearrested at the same rate as everybody else. And it was horrifying. I mean, Chuck Colson, who was alive at that time, was horrified by this news. How is this possible? Well, what they found was those guys who became real believers in prison and went out didn't join churches. And when prison ministry fellowship added that follow-up mentoring component where you had to get into a church, the rearrest rate dropped dramatically. The guys stopped being rearrested because men need community in order to function well. We just know that. We just know it's true.
Dr. Mark Baker is the executive director of LaVie Counseling Centers. For those of you listening right now that are struggling, whether it's about this issue or anything else, I want to do this a few times during the interview because it's so important. The number to LaVie is 800. It's a special number for the station, 800-801-5242, 800-801-5242. As it applies to the topic at hand, I would suspect you've had a lot of men come in dealing with some of these issues.
Right.
Talk about maybe someone that comes to mind where they walked in with said issue and part of the way in which you walked him through some of this and where he's at now.
Well, there's a couple to mind. One that jumps to mind right now is I had a young couple come to see me who were in their 20s, and they got married as virgins. I mean, they grew up in Christian households, and they really did it the right way, which is in the minority. It's shockingly a small percentage actually get married as virgins. But they did. They hung in there. And it's not shocking that then, within the first 3 years of their marriage, they had a lot of sexual problems because they had no experience at it, and they had And they felt like they couldn't go to their parents and talk about it because they felt like it was not something that was an open conversation in their family. The parents just said, just don't do it. But they didn't talk about it. So they had to come to me in order for me to open up the conversation with them. And they were wonderful people, really good people. But it was uncomfortable, and they didn't really know what to do. And we had to talk openly about sex as if I was the dad that they didn't have, right? And they were able to work that through. And I'll tell you this, in their first 3 years of marriage, they tried several times to have sex, but they were unsuccessful in doing it in the first 3 years of their marriage. So they finally came to me embarrassed. And after working with them, the last week that I saw them, they made love 5 times that week. So you can learn. You can get better. You can resolve whatever those issues are that are self-consciousness or lack of experience. And even in this study that we were talking about, the author of the study admits at the very end, it's not a lack of experience that's the issue. It's a lack of community that's the issue. And even with the young couple that I was working with, the issue wasn't their lack of sexual experience. They weren't regretting that they didn't have sex with some other partner. They were just regretting they didn't have community to talk about it. And if we can talk openly about it, we can resolve those conflicts that come in. We can resolve the problems that come in. You don't need to be experienced. You need to be able to talk and be in community with people where there's open dialogue.
Mark, I'm sure there are many people listening right now. Maybe you've actually counseled them. Maybe they're thinking about counseling. Maybe they've had counseling in the past. Maybe they've gone to a secular counselor. As it applies to this article, the sociologist is a non-believer. She has her view on things, and yet LaVie is a Christian counseling center. Speak to that and speak to the importance of we as Christians going to a Christian counseling center.
Well, what we know in the Bible is that sex is a gift. And that's what these guys believed in this study. It was a gift. It's a gift that you give someone else, and that it's sacred is the word that they used. And we believe that sex is intended by God to create a union between a man and a woman that's sacred. It's a sacred union. Now, what happens in life is that it's not always used that way. So there are two main categories in which sex gets used in our culture. The way for which it was intended, and the psychological term for that is erotic. And if you read Song of Solomon, you know what I'm talking about. The sex was intended to be a wonderful thing and a bonding thing and a unifying thing and an exciting thing and a fun thing. And that's the way God made it. It was no mistake to make it that way. But that's when you're having a healthy relationship between two people who are being honest and open and they love each other and they're connected. That's called erotic sex. Now, there's another category of sex called eroticized sex, and that's when you're trying to have a relationship with someone that's insecure. Maybe you don't even know them. Maybe you're afraid they're going to get rid of you, or you don't deserve to be with them, or there's huge insecurity and fear. And unfortunately, that's what most people in the world know about sex. It's what we use to get something. It's not a gift. It's what we use to get. And that eroticized sex is unhealthy because it's defensive. It's me trying to replace what's missing in the relationship with sex. And unfortunately, that's most of what we see in movies. That's what the porn industry is based on. That's most of what we hear about is eroticized sex, which is actually a perversion of what God created it to be. And we understand that difference. We can read the Song of Solomon and go, sex is a good thing. It's a holy thing. It's a wonderful thing between two people who love each other, two people who've entered into a union for life. That's the way it's supposed to create that kind of powerful energy that creates the two of you. It can be misused in those other ways, and we get that difference.
Dr. Mark Baker is here from LaVie Counseling Center. Mark, if you would, speak to those listening right now, be they married, be they single, that recognize, okay, there's some issues here as it applies to this topic, and maybe the fear of saying, okay, I need to make that first step. So many people, that first step is the hardest one.
It is. And they're afraid that asking for help means I'm weak. It doesn't mean you're weak. It means you're smart. The Bible tells us that plans fail for lack of counsel. We know that. And that for you to admit that you are in need means I need community, I need conversation, I need advice, I need wisdom. And that's just a sign of wisdom. It's making use of a resource. And people are afraid that that other people, I don't want to tell some stranger about my problems because that would be embarrassing. Well, it's confidential. That's why it's a stranger. It doesn't go anywhere else. And if you come to counseling in order to confess these sins to another believer, or just confess your struggles to another believer so they can come alongside you in a confidential environment, it'll never get back to anybody you know. So there are good, smart reasons why we need to seek out the counsel of others. We specialize, you know, it used to be 150 years ago, the only person you could go to for counsel was the priest or the pastor of the community. I mean, all counseling was Christian counseling up until 150 years ago, and now we've separated it out and made it a special discipline where you can go to a counselor who isn't a Christian, isn't a priest, isn't a pastor. But it didn't used to be that way. All that LaVie is we're just doing it the way it always used to be. You know, you come to someone who's read the Bible, they believe in it, and they're going to apply those principles to your emotional life, which is how humanity has sustained itself for hundreds and hundreds of years up until now.
Mark, we've got a couple of minutes. In closing, if you would talk about, you just mentioned LaVie, talk about yourself, your background, why did you pursue counseling? Just to give the listeners a little better sense of you. Obviously, if they come to LaVie, they may have you as a counselor. There's others there as well.
Well, you know where it started was with my grandfather. I grew up in a small town, Santa Paula, which is just north of here. And my grandfather was the most godly man I know. I mean, this guy was just, he wasn't well educated. He only had an eighth grade education. But he was the guy that everybody went to for counsel because this guy read the Bible. This guy was wise and someone that I just felt safe in his presence. And I can remember growing up when I was a kid going over to my grandfather's house. And people would come from the church. He was an elder in this little church we went to. And they would disappear into his study. And they would come out of his study wiping their eyes, you know, like this and shaking his hand and saying, thank you, you know. I had no idea what was going on in there, but I knew it was changing people's lives. And the only book I ever saw him read was the Bible. And he had all this wisdom about how to counsel people and help them in their lives that I didn't know it at that time, but it's like, okay, whatever he's got, I want that. Mm. You know, I want to be like that guy. Mm. And so when it came time for me to go to graduate school and figure out what I wanted to do, I only went to one school, and that was Fuller Seminary, where I could study the Bible, I could study counseling, and I could help lead people into healthier emotional lives based on what we know to be true for the last 2,000 years.
Dr. Mark Baker is Executive Director of LaVie Counseling Centers. He is licensed both as a clinical psychologist and a marriage and family therapist. 800-801-5242 is a special number to call through this radio station to LaVie, 800-801-5242. Their website is laviecounseling.org. LaVie is L-A-V-I-E, laviecounseling.org. And my prayer is that many people will recognize that smart people seek counsel and healthy people seek counsel. And for those of us that know our Lord and Savior, sometimes in life it benefits to seek counsel. Dr. Baker, always a pleasure and an honor to have you on. Thank you for coming in today and sharing some of your insights.
Thanks, Frank. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. You as well.